This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We've been tracking the lower interest rates produced by the recent mess in banking. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're leading with a wide-ranging consequence of the collapse of those two banks in recent days. Interest rates fell briskly from their highs, which is the opposite of what central bankers have been trying to engineer as they try to tamp down inflation. Now, when people get nervous about the banking system, investors buy into the safety of government bonds, and when the bond market goes up, interest rates come down. You can see this in the benchmark 10-year rate. It's down at 3.57% this morning after Bob above 4% earlier last week, and mortgage rates have come down as well. For a 30-year fix, the average has fallen from above 7% to 6.75% in just a week, according to Mortgage Daily News. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports on what this means for a housing market that's been cooling.
The collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank was a shock to financial markets. Daryl Fairweather, chief economist at Redfin, says people are still trying to figure out how widespread the systemic risks are. That includes prospective homebuyers.
In general, buyers don't really like the uncertainty. They want to know when they start their home search that they're going to get a particular rate.
The last few days have been particularly unstable for mortgage rates, which were already volatile amid Fed rate hikes over the last year. Right now, says Miller Samuel's Jonathan Miller, it's not just buyers that might be spooked.
I think the outcome of this may be a tightening of credit by the banks themselves,
with banks taking a more cautious approach to lending. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Now, the Federal Reserve was supposed to raise interest rates next week, but there's a question mark about that now. Can the Fed add pressure to a rattled financial system? And after a surge in the stock market yesterday with the S&P closing up 1.7% this morning, Dow and S&P futures are down 1.3% each. In late February, President Biden tapped former MasterCard CEO Ajay Banga to lead the World Bank. And Banga is currently on what's styled as a listening tour to meet with government and business leaders last week in Africa, now in Europe.
You know, the real issue here is expanding the scope of our thinking to understand that climate and pandemics and fragility are intertwined with development.
Banga is on track to replace David Malpass, who resigned in February. Now, under Malpass, the World Bank helped governments navigate the economic challenges posed by the pandemic and Russia's war on Ukraine. But Malpass also faced controversy for a seeming reluctance to accept the scientific consensus on climate change. He later said he was not a climate denier. The BBC's Awadi Mudibo asked the nominee, Banga, about the path forward on fighting climate change.
I think if you start with the biggest contributor to climate change, it has been the production of electricity. But then after that, we have to deal with the carbon intensity of construction materials. Then we have to do things with agriculture. And then we have to work on transport, not just light vehicles, where we are making progress with batteries, but heavy transport, shipping, airlines, trucks.
The U.S. is the World Bank's largest shareholder and nominates its president.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the inflation reading for February yesterday, 6% in a year. That's still high, but it's down, an improvement, and it's not 13%. That was inflation's peak in the 1970s when the economy suffered back-to-back recessions. This left New York City almost bankrupt. It cut services to the bone with devastating effects, especially in low-income communities like the Bronx, which is where, 50 years ago, hip-hop was born. Marketplace's Nova Safo went to an exhibit in New York, which explores this artistic and economic connection.
The 1970s in the South Bronx were years of upheaval. This largely Black and Latino neighborhood was literally crumbling. Some landlords were even paying arsonists to torch their buildings for the insurance money. And residents used the few resources available to them, including spray paint and turntables, to express what was happening.
Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, because a man with a tow truck repossessed my car.
Grandmaster Flash was one of hip-hop's pioneers. Many say hip-hop began as a musical innovation at a party in a basement of a Bronx building, and then branched out into graffiti art, breakdancing, and rap.
Hip-hop came from sadness.
That's Sasha Jenkins. He helped curate a photo exhibit at New York's Fotografiska Museum. The exhibit chronicles hip-hop's first five decades.
It came from trying to find a way to exorcise these societal demons. We did that in many ways and found the success.
The societal demons were many. The city was losing revenues, costs were skyrocketing, and officials drastically cut services.
What is really striking about these cuts is that they're very haphazard.
Kim Phillips-Fine is a history professor at Columbia University and author of a book examining New York's fiscal crisis and those cuts.
They affect many different departments of the city government, the police, the fire department, education, parks. There are cuts really all throughout the city's agencies.
The photo exhibit starkly shows the results.
Buildings look like they were in World War II.
Co-curator Sasha Jenkins is pointing to documentary-style images of hip-hop's early days. One photo shows a group of kids breakdancing on homemade dance floors.
Breakdancing happened on cardboard, you know, portable dance floor that you can get at the supermarket.
Later images are portraits, meant for magazine and album covers. One from 1990 is of a young Queen Latifah with large, bold earrings, a shining cuff on her wrist, and a beautifully decorated hat.
She's extremely regal, confident, and someone who looks like a leader. And in many cases, when it came to the rappers, they became de facto leaders because we didn't have social capital, we didn't have necessarily political power.
The exhibit shows how hip-hop altered all of that by becoming a way to call for social change and to escape economic conditions that seemed, at one time, inescapable for many. In New York, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And it's a red-letter date for accountants, for S-corporations, partnerships, and some LLCs. Today is the deadline to file tax returns for 2022, unless you file for an extension. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. You're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.